Hello and welcome to our site as we return to our series, The Acts of the Holy Spirit, Never a Dull Moment. This, of course, is the story of the early church given to us in Luke's second part of his history of mission. His first part is the gospel that bears his name, the Acts of the Earthly Christ. The second part is labeled Acts in the New Testament, and that is the second part of Luke's history of mission. And it's the Acts of the Heavenly Christ through the power of his Holy Spirit at work through his people, the church. And so never a dull moment when God is at work. Last Sunday, we turned to Acts chapter 20, and I'd like you to turn in your Bible there to Acts chapter 20 once again. We looked at Paul's farewell address to the Ephesian elders, and it's way too good and weighty a passage to just leave there. We looked last Sunday at the power of a good testimony, and this morning we're going to just take, shooting from the hip, Paul's exhortation, be on your guard. My friend, if there was ever a time when Christians needed to be on their guard, on guard duty, it is surely today in this 2021 year. Oh, how we need to be on our guard. So we're going to read now, and so follow me if you can in your own Bible. Acts chapter 20, Paul speaking from the beach at Miletus to the Ephesian elders, and we'll take up the reading from verse 17, Acts 20. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church, and when they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem. Not knowing what will happen to me there, I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them." Excuse me. And so here's the exhortation. Here's the command. Here's the imperative. Verse 31. So be on your guard. Be on your guard. That's our theme today. Be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, Paul says, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. And now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified, that is, set apart for God. I've not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." When Paul had said this, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them the most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. Just so far, and may God bless his word to us this morning. Keep your Bible open before you, and let's take a look at these scriptures. Here, the Apostle Paul, from verse 28, tells us what we must do for ourselves as we are on guard as followers of the Lord Jesus. And then he tells us what we must do for others. And then thirdly, he tells us what God will do for us. So verses 28 to 32 just give us a neat little three-point sermon. And so I trust that you'll be blessed and enjoy what the Lord says to us today. Verse 28, the Apostle Paul says that keep watch over yourselves. Keep watch over yourselves and the flock of God over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Because I know that when I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Be on your guard. Keep watch. Be on your guard. Keep your head in all situations, the Apostle Paul says to his son in the faith, Timothy. Romans 12, Paul says, therefore I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. And then this warning, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Keep watch, be on guard, keep watch over your mind, because the way the mind goes, so the life will go, so the behavior will go. And so we are to be on our guard in these days, friends. We must be on our guard concerning the decadent world in which we live, a world that is a world of situational ethics or no ethics at all, a world of preferential morals or no morals at all, a world of no absolutes, a world that is seeking to live without God, a world that is seeking to live without the Ten Commandments, a world that is seeking to reject everything that comes from the Bible. Keep your watch concerning the decadent world in which you live. And then keep watch and keep guard concerning the depraved nature which you were born with, the lusts of the flesh, the things of the world cry out to the flesh, to our depraved human nature, whether it's films, videos, magazines, pornography, the screen, the printed page, whatever. The world is crying out to people today from every angle. It's a depraved world. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we are to keep watch and be on guard concerning the decadent world in which we live and concerning the depraved nature which we were born with. Till the day we die, even as Christians, we will have a depraved nature, a fallen nature that longs to be fulfilled. And so we have to keep watch also concerning the determined adversary that we struggle against as believers. Peter says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to tear apart, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, says Peter, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. Paul warns that savage wolves are going to come into the church of Jesus, twisting the truth, twisting Christian doctrine. And so, friends, we have to be on our guard. We have to watch our minds. We have to watch what we feed our minds on. And we have to be on our guard and stand firm as we don't in any way give way to the world or the depraved nature that we have or to the enemy. And there are certain things that we need to guard and keep watch over in terms of the values of the Christian experience. Truths that stand the test of time. Keep watch over them. The authority of Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the Christian may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, 2 Timothy 3:16. We need to keep guard over the authority of Scripture and hold that dear. It's non-negotiable. And then regarding the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says to the Colossians, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. By him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. The Lord Jesus Christ, he says, is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in Jesus. And so we need to keep God over the truth of Holy Scripture. We need to keep God over the truth of Jesus, of who he is and what he's done and what he is yet going to do in the world, the preeminence of the Lord Jesus, the centrality of the cross. Paul says to the Corinthians, when I came to you, I didn't come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Keep God, dear friend, over the centrality of the cross. Be like the Apostle Paul who said, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. He's rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. God has made peace through the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. That's a truth that we need to guard with all of our heart and not compromise in any way. God forbid that we should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus. And then it's these days as we're on guard duty as Christian believers, we need to guard the truth and the authority of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, the good news about Jesus, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Paul writes to the Thessalonians saying, we know, brothers loved by God, that he's chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, with deep conviction. With the help of our God, we dare to tell you this gospel in spite of strong opposition. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Gospel truth is something that we have to, absolutely have to guard and keep watch over in these days. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, the often neglected third person of the triune Godhead. Thank God for the Holy Spirit who baptizes the repentant believer into the body of Christ, the church, the one who fills and anoints and enables, who gifts and whose fruit, as we work in following Jesus, exhibits in the life and character of Christ love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and faithfulness, goodness, self-control. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is something that we must guard and value in these days, dear friends. We're all baptized by one Spirit into one body. We're all given the one Spirit to drink. Paul says to the Romans, if you live according to your sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Holy Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you'll live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. To the Galatians, live by the Spirit, says the Apostle, and you'll not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. These are the things that the Apostle Paul is enjoining the Ephesian elders and the Church of Jesus to hold dear, to not compromise on. And the mission of the Church. Oh, friends, how we must guard the mission of the Church. Our primary calling is to continue the work of Jesus, to be on mission with God every day. The church is God's magnificent obsession. Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her, to make her holy, and to present her to the Father holy and blameless and without blemish. So God has placed all things under Jesus' feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. How we need to guard our view of the body of Christ, the church, with all its failings and imperfections. Why, the church at its worst is far better than the world at its best. The church is the one living organism, the community of God that's going to last forever. These are precious truths that we need to guard. We need to keep watch over what we believe and what we share and hold these things dear. Because as Paul warned the Ephesian elders, savage wolves would come in, twisting the truth, compromising the truth as it is in Jesus. So the Apostle Paul is saying, be on your guard, keep watch. And these are things we must do for ourselves. We must keep on guard concerning the decadent world in which we live, so we don't allow it to conform us, squeeze us into its mold. We must be on guard concerning the depraved nature we were born with, and keep it in subjection, and keep living under the control of the Holy Spirit. We must be on guard concerning the determined adversary that we struggle against, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the world rulers of this present darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Oh, friend, be on your guard, be on your guard. These are things that you must do, that I must do. And then Paul emphasizes what we must do for others. In verse 28, we must not only keep watch over ourselves, we must keep watch over all the flock of God. We must keep watch, firstly, spiritually. Paul uses these analogies, these lovely metaphors of shepherds and of watchmen. And those who are elders, particularly leaders in the local congregation, must be faithful in their shepherding, in their nurturing, in their feeding, and in their care for the believers in the Lord Jesus. And we must be like watchmen. Oh, God speaks so powerfully through the prophet Ezekiel in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel 33. And God has made you and me watchmen. We are to keep guard and to watch over the members of the local congregation where we belong. And we must hold each one dear. And we must be careful that spiritually we're doing everything we can to encourage and build others up. This is what we must do for others spiritually. And then practically, we must be workers. We must work hard. We must be generous. We must be givers. The Apostle Paul enjoins us. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And so we are to be practical in the work that we do in the local church. We must watch over ourselves in these days. We must watch over others, particularly those who are of the household of faith, so that we're doing what we can to encourage and help others, and especially those who may be in danger of straying or of falling. Friend, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And so Paul is enjoining us as those who watch over our own lives and the lives of others in the family of God, that we should be giving of ourselves and of our means generously to help those who are in need. What we must do for ourselves, keep watch. What we must do for others, keep watch over them. And what God will do for us, thirdly. Are we committed to God? Well, God is wholly committed to us. That's the good news. He is our keeper. The psalmist says in Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Do you get the point? as you watch over your own life, friend, as you watch over the lives of others in the family of God, the Lord is watching over you. This is what God does for us. The Apostle Peter says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy we've been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, into an inheritance that is imperishable, unfading, undefiled, kept in heaven for you, who are being kept by the power of God for that salvation ready to be revealed in the last day." By faith, we watch over our own lives, and we watch over the lives of others, and God watches over our lives, and he keeps us until that day when we see him face to face. The Apostle Paul says to the Philippians, "He who began a good work in you will keep on performing it until the day of Christ." God is committed to you. God will take care of you, but especially as you watch over your own life and you watch over the lives of your fellow believers in the family of God. God is a wonderful God and guide and keeper. God will take care of you in every situation of your life. He takes care of us as the one who is committed to us. He takes care of us as the one who is our edifier. His word of grace is able to build us up and give us an inheritance, the apostle says, among those who are set apart for God. He will be our helper in the manifold trials that we may go through, and his manifold grace will be meted out to us. He gives more grace, says the Apostle James. God is committed to us. He's committed to us in the great inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ. And so he will not let us go. Here are things that the Apostle Paul would like us to take account of today. Keep watch. Be on your guard. He tells us what we must do for ourselves. We must watch over our own lives. What we must do for others, spiritually and practically. We must watch over our fellow believers in the body of Christ. How are we doing on those two issues today? Can I challenge you and ask, are you watching over your life, every aspect of your life as a follower of Jesus Christ? Or are you slackening off? Are you slipping away? Are you allowing yourself to be squeezed into this world's mold? What we must do for others? Be on your watch. Keep guard. Our brothers and sisters in Jesus are dear to us. We are our brother's keeper. And we must watch over and seek to encourage and guard and guide our fellow believers in the body of Christ. And when we do that, God himself is watching over us, and he is keeping us, and he is helping us. As our shepherd, he is watching over us and leading us, and as a watchman, he never takes his eye off us. Proverbs, the writer says, his thoughts toward us are too numerous to mention. What a wonderful God we have. I'd like to close with this little story. On October the 3rd, 1832, a baby girl was born in the home of the pastor of a church in Frederød, Sweden. She was named Carolina Sandor, but everyone called her Lena. A frail child from early age, she preferred spending time in her father's study to playing with the other children outside. At the age of 12, she was struck by a mysterious illness that left her paralyzed. One Sunday morning, when everyone else had gone to church, she asked the Lord to help her get out of bed, and he did. In awe, she dressed herself and walked slowly across the room. She could hardly wait to tell her parents how God had answered her prayer and healed her. A sensitive and expressive child, Lena started journaling at an early age. As she wrote down her thoughts, she discovered that they often came in poetry, and at the age of 16, she published a small book of her poems. When she was 26, she left with her father on a trip to Gutenberg that changed her life. What started as a pleasant adventure resulted in tragedy. As they crossed Lake Vättern, the small boat lurched, throwing her father overboard, and before her horrified eyes, he drowned. The next 3 years were a time of anguish and soul-searching for Lena. The only thing that brought her comfort was the writing of hymns that seemed to flow from her broken heart. Within a year of her father's death, 14 of her hymns were published anonymously in the Christian periodical Budvaranen. Those first 14 remained the most popular of the 650 hymns she wrote. Among the initial 14 were Children of the Heavenly Father and Day by Day. At the age of 35, Lena married C.O. Berg, a Stockholm merchant, but continued to write hymns under the initials L.S. from her maiden name. Her hymns were set to music by Oscar Arnfelt, a former member of the Royal Opera who became known as the Swedish troubadour. In a time of revival led by preacher Carl Rosenius, who also wrote hymns, Arnfelt travelled throughout Sweden singing Lena's songs, accompanying himself on his 10-string guitar. Lena once said, "Arnfelt has sung my songs into the hearts of the people." The other person who helped to make Lena's hymns known was Jenny Lind, the Swedish nightingale. Considered to be the greatest soprano of her day, Lind was a committed Christian who loved Rosenius's preaching and Arnfelt's singing. Lind provided the funds for printing the first edition of Arnfelt's songs, which consisted primarily of the hymns of Lena Sandel and Carl Rosenius. Jenny Lind not only was responsible for getting Lena's hymns into print, but also popularizing them by singing them at many revival meetings. After giving up her operatic career, Jenny Lind's testimony to the Lord was largely known through her singing of Lena's hymns. Lena died at the age of 71. At her funeral, the choir sang Children of the Heavenly Father, and the congregation spontaneously joined in singing the beloved and familiar hymn, Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in his bosom gather, nestling bird nor star in heaven, such a refuge here was given. God his own doth tend and nourish, in his holy courts they flourish, from all evil things he spares them, in his mighty arms he bears them. Friend, I share that little story at the close of our message today, just to let you know that if, like Lena so long ago, we commit our lives to the Lord and remain on guard duty, watching over our own lives and watching over the lives of others, there's no limit to what God can do for us. But of this be sure, that just as he cared for Lena and watched over Lena to her dying day, so the Lord is committed to watching over you, watching over me. And so be blessed by this complementary dual truth, as you keep God over your life and over God's church and your mission in God's church. Be sure of this fact: God is keeping watch over you, and he will keep you to the very end. May the Lord help us then to be faithful to the end. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this simple word, and yet for these powerful words that come to us from the Apostle Paul. As we consider this passage of Scripture once again, we thank you, Father, for the Apostle's farewell address, so rich in its content and teaching. And we thank you for the exhortation today, the reminder that as followers of Jesus Christ, we are to always be on guard, always be watching out, always be watching over our life, our teaching, our testimony, our ministry, always watching over our fellow believers in the Lord Jesus. And thank you that as we do that, you are committed to us, Lord, in a way that's way beyond our understanding. Thank you that you keep us to the very end. And so, once again today, we pray that as we offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice to be holy and acceptable to you, which is our spiritual worship and our reasoned service. We pray that you'll keep us from being squeezed into this world's molds, its ways, its thinking, its habits, the things that are offensive to you. Because we know that everything that is in the world and of the world is going to pass away. But those who do the will of God will abide forever. And so grant, dear Lord, that we may be able to put to the test, approve and enjoy your perfect will as we watch over our own lives and the lives of others in the family of God. We praise you that we can say in the words of that wonderful benediction, now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you blameless before his glorious presence with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and for evermore. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.